Y'all right
that
there?
Was dope. Anyways, what it were you saying?
No, I was just thinking, like, how cool it was for him to be in there. But we will, I'll dig into that one on the on our next review.
Yeah, no, we'll dig that one next. No, I honestly, I didn't know that he was in prison. I really didn't know that. Knew he was a power lifter, but I don't know what he did.
Lots of stuff.
We'll talk about that next time. It sounds dirty. I wonder if he did pronoun checks.
I don't think so, Tim.
Tell me. Oh, hey. Tell me how the meet's coming along.
It's going well, man. We got
actually very invested.
I have. We're gonna do one more gravity check on it. You know, day after tomorrow, and then we're going to start secondary fermentation with flavoring on the 30th and 31st. So,
how long? So, I've never looked into the process. I think my brother's dabbled in a little bit, but how long does it take? How many steps and how long does it take? I'm very curious.
It depends on the amount of sugar the honey you use to water ratio to start with, how long that takes, what type you're making, as far as if you do fruit in the must, which is the first time you mix the honey and water together with yeast to get it to start fermenting, or if you do it in secondary fermentation where you put it in there after your wine's kind of made, you know, from the mead. And then you want to add a flavor to it, and it has a little bit of fermentation during that step, but almost none. You're trying to get the flavor infused into it, and then you rack depending on how clear you want to be. Like if you're gonna put this in a can after you've done your week or two of secondary fermentation, you're done. As long as you know that the yeast is not active. Because you do not want to put a liquid into a sealed container and then have gas keep expanding into that container because the yeast is still alive and active and eating and giving off CO2. Because it will blow your shit up.
Do you not want that to happen?
No, you don't want. You do not want to blow up a container.
I'm kidding. There's a couple ways. Trap metal everywhere.
Yeah, you can put sulfites in it to kill the yeast. The problem is that can leave some weird taste to it, and some people just that's not what they want to do with their product. And then you have cold crash, in which you take the entirety of whatever you have and put it into an area that's, you know, sub 50 degrees. And then that way it will kill the yeast at that point. And then you can go from there, there's upsides to it because you want it with a clear product. But what we're going to do, we're going to let it naturally taper off. The reason for that is that you get the flavors that are there, that are present in it. It allows you to have all the dead yeast cells and bodies go to the bottom, which is called lees. And it creates, you know, a substance at the bottom and allows you to siphon it off easier without leaving that material in it, having to try to scrape it out or separate it or strain it a bajillion times. And then at that point, if you've ever seen products called like natural wine, what they're doing is they're doing it without sulfites. They're not adding those or sulfates. They're not adding those to it to kill off the stuff. So it's going to have a more, it's going to have a lot lighter tone to it when you taste it. It's not going to have this weird back, you know, taste in the back of your throat. It's not going to add those flavors to it. So that's the biggest benefit of just letting it naturally die off. You just have to be patient. A lot of breweries don't do that. They'll cold crash if they can. you lose product that way, but they're weighing the loss of product versus the loss of production, because it takes longer to do it in a natural manner than it is to if you kill it with sulfites or coal crashing. Coal crashing, depending on, you know, who you talk to, what they think, it's about the same as doing it naturally. But if you have a walk-in that you'd like to hand over, I'll be more than willing to take it. Because otherwise, it's incredibly difficult to have that volume chilled at a decent level that quickly. So, yeah. So we're going to do it the natural way.
That's not bad. It sounds like you guys have been doing a hell ton of research onto this thing.
Well, yeah, that's very true. It's something that, you know, if you're gonna commit to it, then you have to commit. You know what I mean?
Of course. Like, nah, you ain't wrong about that.
If you're gonna do it, you know, if you're just doing it and you're just gonna, you know, keep it at the house and as a hobby, you can. But at the same time, when it comes to when you're coaxing organisms to do work for you, you have to pay them attention, and that's what we're and that's what it is.
You basically have more children that you didn't want, but you wanted.
That's correct. More use children. I'm like, okay.
You get very good uses out of these kids.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like China in the 80s.
Shit. Well, welcome to Movies, Brews, and Ranch. You've already heard about a lot of brews going on right now. We're shy. One of our normal people. He's taking some personal time, and so you got me trying to deal with all the technical shit. Whatever. We'll worry about that. I'm Tyler. I'm drinking myself a Corona. It's been a while since we've been doing this. It's we've all had personal shit going on. But Jeff, what you got going over there?
Oh, I am drinking some Hookapoo, which is a delicious cherry vanilla Collins jungle juice trash can punch variant that I am exceedingly fond of.
I know you're talking about. I know what you're saying, but it honestly sounds like you're saying I'm drinking a poo-poo.
Ooh, gross. No, sorry.
No, that's what it reminds me of A Bug's Life. Who ordered the poo-poo platter? That sounds like you're having a poo-poo platter right now.
That is repulsive.
I dug back to early 2000s animated movies. You are poo-poo
platter. I have never seen A Bug's Life, believe it or not.
Dude, I actually really enjoyed it, man. Oh, dude, they gang up on the grasshoppers and slave the ants and like other insects and shit. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know, fuck this. I'm not being oppressed by your bitch ass. And they all stand up, a group of misfits. You know, every movie deals with people standing up is always a group of fucking misfits. And stand up and they beat the grasshoppers. And some of the grasshoppers are like, yo, bro, I get where you guys are coming from. I'm coming with you. And they turn on the evil dude because they all realize he sucks. And he dies. It doesn't show it. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure he dies.
That's horrible.
Like, pretty fucking awesome. And this came out in like, I want to say like 99 or like 2000 or something like that. Hold on. I'm actually very invested in this now.
It's a Pixar product, right?
Yeah. Ended at 98. Came out in 98, dude. The same year as I remember it came out the same year as Ants. Do you remember that movie Ants?
Yes.
I loved the absolute animation out of that movie. I don't know what it was. I loved the animation of it.
Well, you had like a Pixar product versus a DreamWorks. DreamWorks kept trying to fight the good fight before they just gave up and realized it's just too much for them and they can't keep doing it.
You know what? Graphics and CGI really loved Dragon Slayer. That's the movie we're doing today. You like that? You like that segue? I love it. This is the 1981 cult classic Dragon Slayer. I had never heard of it until you suggested it. I've never heard of it. And love it. I'm here for it. I want more of this.
I had seen a portion of it eons ago on some awful cable channel. And then I had never watched the whole movie until, we decided, well, hey, let's try this one. And guys, it holds up for a 40-year-old movie with special effects. And you're like, what? And it does. It's good. I mean, it falls off pretty hard at the end with the effects. But
it drops off. We'll get there, but it drops off. A lot of the special effects I loved. The special effects that I hated the absolute most with a passion is it looks like the director just got done watching Star Wars, and whenever swords and spears touched, or a spear touched anything, it was gonna glow. And that pissed me off to no end.
Well, dude, everything was pitched like, oh, it's like a Star Wars, but the Western. It's like Star Wars, but like in the desert. Like, you know, I'm looking at you, dude. You know what I'm saying? You have all kinds of stuff that was pitched and sold and made like that. And, you know, you can count those down all the time. I mean, you can go back, you know, I'm sure we can probably find a more recent one. But the one that sticks out in my mind is angsty teen supernatural shit. Like Twilight blew the fuck up, and then you had just a run of absolute horrendous trash. And it's not the actors and actresses' fault. Don't get me wrong. It's the fact that it was rushed in production. A lot of people didn't give a shit about what they were doing and just tried to throw something on screen to capitalize, strike while the iron's hot type of mentality. Beautiful yes. Creatures, which is a great book series. They did so many things wrong. It was hideous, and they were throwing money at some people, and then you're like, who is that? You know, and then, you know, you had Shadowhunters or the Mortal Instruments or City of Bone, whatever they called it. Everyone knows the property by this point. When the movie ran out, it was super exciting, and it was such a horrible flop because it was just bad. And then you just had so many of them. And that's the same thing that Star Wars did. But I will say this. For Dragon Slayer, that was good. And it had no it has no reason to be good. Like,
no, it was.
What the hell is that guy been in? He was Ghostbusters right? 2? And he disappeared for 30 years and came back on the Hallie McBeal? I mean, I'm sure he has a career besides that, and that's fine. I'm just saying, that's what I know the guy from. And most of you people, you watch Dragon Slayer, you're going to wonder, who the fuck is that guy? Where do I know him from? Well,
who is this guy?
From, and you know, leading man material? I don't think so.
Debatable. Well, debatable.
Again, he was really good.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoy. I was when you first said it. I immediately looked up the trailer for it. I was like, oh shit, what the hell is Jeff getting me into this time? And honestly, for the first probably 15-20 minutes, I was sitting here in the living room. I was watching it, and I'm just sitting there like, huh. All right. So to use your words, we have an angsty teen. He reminds me of Harry Potter in the books, where all he is an angsty teen the entire time. The entire book series. To me, that's what he is. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, huh, this is horrible. Then all of a sudden, like, the kids finally left the room. They finally left me alone. And I'm sitting there like, damn, this is actually kind of really good. This is like an extreme sleeper movie.
That's very true. I'm like, dude, I don't even remember why the title stuck in my head. I intentionally refused to look at anything else about it. I still have no idea if we're the only two people on the planet that think this is a good movie or not.
Believe it or not, there is a huge cult following behind it right now.
Shut up.
There is a cult following behind Dragon Slayer.
I can believe it because I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. Like, there's a lot of things that were just, dude, was just awesome. Like, first of all, the wizard was, just arbitrarily using, hucksterism, smoke powder and shit, and mixed in with real magic. It's just like, here's some bullshit, and then here's some real shit. So you're sitting there, and you're walking in. So it gives you this off-putting, you don't know what to believe and what not as shit's happening through the movie, which is amazing, it's just like Gene Wilder in when he played Willy Wonka, when he's walking with a cane and then does a front foot forward and jumps up. You don't know what to believe anything at that point. You don't know what, you know what I'm saying? It was purposely put in there by him just to say, so you don't know when I'm lying or when I'm not, which I thought was brilliant. Exactly, you don't know what's happening. So to me, I thought it was great because you don't know what part is wizardly power and absolute bullshit. You think you do, but you don't.
You don't know anything.
I thought it was great. And the fact that, as they're showing up to do, to try to, get him to come and, kill this dragon for him. These villagers, show up out of nowhere. And then, of course, the King's Guard made a deal with the dragon. They follow him behind. They're not trying to be super antagonistic. They're just like literally just like a prick state trooper. You're not doing absolute evil. But if some bad shit happens when you show up, well, you can't. What did you expect to happen? Type of thing. Also, horrible that that's how I think of police officers in this day and age. But again, that's not my fault. That's their fault.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, So, basically, this movie is about a village that is ravaged by a dragon. And they offer up a virgin sacrifice. And, it was chosen by a lottery? That's what it was, a lottery.
That's right.
And they go to kill this one chick. I still don't understand why he stepped in at that point. I still don't understand that.
What do you mean?
I'm drawing a blank on how he got from where he was to where he got in front of the chick from releasing the chick from the pole. Wow, that sounds like a bad porno. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You mean like where? Like how? Like why they showed up to ask him to come help? Or
yeah, pretty much. Like, I'm drawing a huge blank on that one. I'll be honest with you. I love the movie, but the first like 20-30 minutes, I was checked out.
Oh, all right, take you all to buy in. So what happens? Like, this guy is an apprentice for this a wizard, and He is just doing the general minutia that you would expect, learning minor spells, keeping people entertained. And this group shows up to ask for his help, and the older caretaker says, "No, he doesn't help you. Go the hell away." And then they say, "Well, we're gonna stay here until you let us in." And he's like, "Okay, that's fine." Then he just, walks off, and the wizard says, "Okay, fine, let him in. Like, what do you want? There's a dragon." And he does this whole procedure of, showing him what it is, and, this is my magic, and this I can do. We don't think you can do anything. So they get ready to leave. He's going to go on this trip with them. These guards show up from the town, from the kingdom, the king's guard that is over the town, because sacrificing the women to the dragon keep the dragon from attacking the town. Okay. And the king has made the deal with the dragon, so it keeps him from tearing up the stuff, as long as he keeps a steady supply of meat flowing to him. It's done through a lottery, supposedly, where it's just randomly chosen. So the guards show up, and then they don't really want to risk the wrath of the dragon. So this, you know, the wizard tells them, like, oh, I can, you know, you can't kill me with anything. Here, try this dagger. So he takes this dagger, and this wizard's like, you know, how is this old man going to defeat the dragon? And then he goes, I could probably take you down right now. He goes, here, stab me with this. And he stabs the wizard, and everyone expects the wizard to be fine. And the wizard gets stabbed through the chest.
Yes, I remember. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so they burn him on the fire. They go about their business. They're super sad. And then as they're going through the belongings for the wizard, this pendant keeps showing up. Like, the guy will put it in a box, and it'll show back up. And he'll put it over here, and it'll show back up. And then yes. he put it in like a, you know, it shows up in a light crystal. He breaks it and gets it out. He goes, okay, this thing wants me to have it. So he realizes when he puts it on, he can do magic, like real magic, not just like the tricks he was learning or the ability to eventually be able to do magic once he learns the right incantations and stuff. It's a shortcut.
Yes.
So he takes the shortcut necklace and goes running off with them and says, I'll slay the dragon. And they're like, okay, good luck. Did you caught up yet?
I'm caught up. We are good and we are solid now. Like I said, it took me a second to get into it, but literally the second and third acts of the movie, I 100% loved.
It was very compelling. I'm gushing over a little bit, fast and loose order, but it's awesome. And you know, since you have to have an arbitrary love interest in this,
he 100% should have pronoun checked.
Yes, there was a girl that had lived her entire life pretending to be a boy. At her father's behest to avoid her being placed in the lottery.
Blarian. Which
you think there'd be some questions, but nobody said anything.
No one questioned her or nothing at all.
Yeah. So while they're on the road, the guards decide to vex them a little further, and I'm assuming he thought that the older caretaker had some power or something, or kill him to dissuade others from following. But the head of the captain of the guard shoots this old man with like these massive arrows. Yeah, huge.
It was horrible.
He was so bad. And like, so he shoots this poor old man up. And I know I've seen the guy in other things. I cannot for the life of me fathom where I've seen this actor before. But you folks have to watch this, and you're gonna go, I think I know who that person might be. Multiple times throughout this feature. That was just one of those times for me. But while the king's guards are shooting up this old man, the lass pretending to be a lad has slipped off into the lake for a little morning bath, and then the guy jumps in, the sorcerer's apprentice is there, and he jumps into the water. And then she's like, "Don't come in here." Of course, you have nice clear water, and he gets an eyeful underneath water, and is like, "Hey, you're a girl," and she's like, "Shut up," you know. So he's kind of flabbergasted from that, And then we'll see this old man getting filled full of arrows, and he gets awfully spicy and vengefulish about that.
I was waiting for something to go down with that, honestly.
Yeah, you know, you're waiting for something. And then you wind up, they can take him to the dragon's lair, and then he brings his whole mountain down. Everybody's like, badass.
No, that's basically how that was.
The kid was like, oh, look at you. You did the whole damn thing, didn't you? He's like, yeah, I totally did the thing. So they take him back, and all of a sudden, the girl is more than happy to act like a girl. So think about this, folks.
She flipped like super quick. Like the first instance of, hey, I might actually get some dig. She turned on that girlish charm in a heartbeat.
Yeah, which there's a couple things. She lived her whole life as a boy. And then, as soon as Dragon's dead, she's like, ta-da! And then she comes out in this white flowing dress, is turning heads. Nobody calls witch or bullshit or nothing. There's like, yeah, I'll surprise y'all motherfuckers. I kept my daughter safe because I just said she had a peen. And then y'all were like, okay then, no genital check running here. And then, all of a sudden, she's like the belle of the ball. I mean, I don't understand you want to advance the plot, and that's just something that you're moving from, and then going, and that's fine. But nobody said boo to that. And then, of course, no. The King's guards show up at their little party, and they're all like, hey, the king wants to speak to you. And he's like, okie dokie. Shows up at the king. He's like, how'd you do this? What'd you do that for? How'd you do that? He's got his necklace hidden, so he has to touch this necklace and hold the gem in order to do a thing. So they're like, do some magic. And he's like, I'll do some magic. Huh, not gonna work so well. Let me clutch my chest in an awkward manner. And the king goes, what you doing? I'll take that. And then he's like, oh no, I'm take my shit. And then he's like, yeah, I'm gonna take the shit, do the magic. And then he gets shoved into a cell, and the prince's, the king's daughter comes, she's all like, I'll let you out. And they're like, that's stupid, but okay. She's kind of attracted to me, but I don't understand that attraction other than he's slightly defiant to her father, which she's not used to. And then he's like, you've been completely isolated. You never part of this lottery because your name's never been called. And she's like, no, that's bullshit. And they're like, nuh-uh, it's not bullshit. And then she finds out it's bullshit.
That makes sense.
And then the dragon's all angry. He's like, grr. And then I'm going to burn your shit down and eat some more peoples. And they're like, no, dragon, don't do that. We'll feed you some more goodies. So they have another lottery. And then the princess puts her name in the pot. Has all the names in the pot, all her name. And then she called out the name. He's like, well, read it. And then the guy's like, okay, well, it says it's your daughter. And he's like, no, you can't, this motherfucker can't read. Hey, folks, don't worry about it. I'm going to call somebody else's name because this dude obviously can't read worth the shit. And then his daughter's like, no, no, it's my name for every time that you have one of these lotteries since I was eligible to be in the lottery and you didn't call it. So it's not fair. So I'm going to sacrifice myself for these people. And the king's like, that's insane. Don't do that. What the hell? A dragon is just going to eat you. And she's like, duh, that's what happens. And they're like, yay, princess, go get eaten for us. Yay. Instead of going, hey, man, why don't we just kill this dragon? Never crossed my mind, it seems like. It's ridiculous.
The script you just heard was exactly spot on. You guys, I can't tell you anything different. That was the most spot on script I've ever heard somebody repeat without having it in front of them. The worst part is you just summed up 30 minutes in 5.
And it's because the story, it drug you along with it. It made you pay attention.
It did. It did.
And it held your attention. So to me, that's a successful script.
I will give you that.
Ridiculously simplified way in which I described it. Well, it gets the point across when you're watching it on screen of what actually happened. You know,
that multiple is layers, very true.
You see the conflict nature of the king as he's discussing with him. He wants to maintain power, but at what cost? It's a cost he's paid too high. I'm not particularly evil. I'm just corrupted from my power at this point. But underneath my heart, there is some gold there. I love my daughter very much. Did I do a horrible thing to protect her? Yes. Is the power more important than the people? I'm not sure how to feel about this because I was born into this and this is the only life I know. I'm afraid to give it up. None of that shit's important. It happens, and you can see the multiple layers in which the actor portrayed those in the scenes, but basically he's like, bullshit. Give me, I want my daughter and to fuck you people. I don't care. And then the blacksmith's daughter, formerly the lad, of course he's a blacksmith, because why not? Arbitrarily decide that, you know, we're going to kill this dragon. Have you made any, you know, do you have anything that you could make to do this? And evidently they have been horribly oppressed as far as taxation on goods go. Because the steel in which he has, he keeps in a basket in water?
It was a cage down, like halfway down a cliff, like in like a little waterfall. And the I thought was hilarious. He struggled so hard trying to pull that thing back from it. Like, he, I kid you not, he was, it was, his acting was horrible. And he, I don't know, it was absolutely horrible. And when he pulls it up, he's like, it was, I think the girl was like, Valerian, I think was her name. She was, that thing? She goes, or he goes, it's been sitting in the water for years. I don't dare touch it. You had a weapon that could kill the dragon the whole time. Like, why not do something about it, bro?
You know, I'm assuming that there was something left on the editing room floor about these things are outlawed because you're just going to get yourself and everyone else killed. So maybe that's some explanation. Anyway, he makes this badass spear.
True.
And then old girl, like, she thinks that the apprentice is in love with the princess, which he's not. He's in love with the with her. So she goes and collects all these dragon scales in order to make a dragon hide shield to protect him from the fire. Because, you know, the dragons kill people and it showed up when they're trying to sacrifice to it. And it, you know, eats Emperor Palpatine.
I was just about to bring him. I have him pulled up on my on IMBD right now. Of good old Palpatine, Ian McDermott. That was a pleasant surprise. I actually thoroughly was surprised to see him in there, and I was happy about it.
Dude, anytime you can watch the Emperor eat it, you know you're pumping the fist, man. Come on.
Obviously, except don't watch it in actual Star Wars. He never eats it in actual Star Wars.
Except for, you know, I guess he dies, and what's that last movie that they accept us to accept is watchable?
I mean, anything is watchable if you have a TV. Yeah. Now, do we actually, you know, think it? Yeah, okay, enjoyable is the better words. Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
Rey Skywalker, her, you know, is technically Rey Palpatine, but, you know. And to quote the words of Daisy Ridley, Rey Skywalker, but it should have been Rey Palpatine, but really should have been Kenobi, even though, or, not fucking, god damn it, I just ruined it in my head. She just makes fun of fucking Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan and fucking Palpatine all in the same fucking thing. I'm really upset with myself. It happens. Well,
that's what happens sometimes.
That's impressive. What'd you say there, Mr. Robot?
I haven't heard the robot speak in a minute.
Okay, there you go. Now you're not. Now, no, I'm talking to you. You were the robot.
Nuh-uh, you were the robot. On my end, you were like, or you were sounding like, you know, a 56K modem connection.
I was trying to sound like C-3PO.
Look that up, kids. What a 56K modem sounds like. But
oh my god, anything. You just ruined my eardrums.
the best part of this movie, just, you know, it was nuanced, because you're sitting there, you're watching a 40-year-old movie with the special effects heavy, and it doesn't take you out for the vast majority of the film. The first, you know, and when the guy goes to kill the dragon and then winds up with these, you know,
baby dragons,
these gross little baby dragonish things.
Can we talk about farm, they're just sitting there eating that chick?
No, we're not there yet. You know,
sorry.
It's like when the blacksmith's daughter goes and collects all these.
Yeah.
He's one of them, and like
making the shield.
Yeah, so he tries to get it, and she tells him like, "Hey, it's got young down there too." And they're like, "Oh, okay, I'll watch out for that." Who didn't watch out for it was the princess. Princess goes to be, you know, is goes through the whole shebiggle of the white dress and the whole people showing up and watching her get sacrificed by chaining her to this pole, and then the dude shows up to save her, and then he's trying to break the shackles off of her, and she's like, "Thanks, but I need to do this for my people," and he's like, "No, stupid, just cause kill the dragon," and she's like, "Okay, then that sounds great," and then she starts fighting with the king's guard, and you see this eventually trying to come to a head with him, you know, trying to all of a sudden from, you know, guy that can barely lift up, you know, the hay that he's supposed to throw every morning to fighting a seasoned, you know, man at arms or a king, entire life fighting people and things and murdering folks at the whim of his betters. And this guy with a shield and a spear is going to toe-to-toe with a guy with like a sword, and he's already closed the distance, so no benefit there, at least for the most part.
I love how he goes, go ahead. I love how...
Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, that right there is like, well, that's a pretty good spear, you know? But the whole time, he's out and fight, and this chick creeps off into the dragon's cave, and you're like, gosh, she's so stupid. But then, as Tyler was saying, the amazing finish of it, in which he spears him smooth through the post into his chest with a spear, and you're like, "Yeah, take that, dude! Yeah."
First of all, I want to know why. Like, I don't understand why the choreography would have him go behind the spear or go behind the big wooden pole. But at the same time, I'm completely fine with that because, you know. First of all, okay, so you have the regular length of a spear, which is, you'd say, what, at least 7 foot? I'd say that spear is probably about 7 foot. Well, a good 3 foot of the entire thing is the actual blade itself. And it just freaking goes all the way through it, all the way through, what, like a 5x5 post or something like that? Or like a 5-inch wide post?
Yeah, basically the tree. I guess, like, when we say spear, it might conjure images of a long, thin item in which, you know, a tip is a fix for the sole purpose of throwing. This is more like literally a murder lance. Like, yeah. It is, you know, it's got, you know, it's got cross arms on it to prevent it from going too deep once you run off into somebody for the most part. It is made for killing big things, period. And it does that fairly well when it comes to the dude.
It lives up to its name, and And it definitely works out great. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go in there after the princess. So he walks in and he finds her shoe on the ground and then continues to walk in afterwards. And probably what, a good 30 feet into the cave, he sees baby dragons there just gnawing on her body. And I don't care what it is. My favorite part is the first baby dragon that it shows up to is one gnawing on its leg, right? And mm-hmm. then the other one is, I think, is at the top of her, trying to try to eat the top of her chest or something like that. And he comes in and just stabs that one in the face. Just straight murders it in the face. Doesn't do anything other than just stabs it. But my favorite part is, meanwhile, while it's going back and forth of him sitting there, like looking at the body, looking at the dragons, it's showing the very first dragon continuously gnawing on the leg, and it slowly shows the leg like deteriorating where the dragon's biting it off, right? Well, he stabs it, and he stabs the one in the head, and he comes over the final scene with that baby dragon. It looks up, finally has a leg in its hand or in its mouth, and I'm sitting there cheering it on. I'm like, dude, baby dragon finally did what it was supposed to do. It took him forever. And next thing you know, he freaking cleaves the head off in two. And I'm just like, what the actual fuck? Because
he's there. He's all juiced. He's feeling himself. He just killed this warrior that he probably should have murdered him. And then he stabbed this other dragon. He's like, yeah, I'm a dragon slayer. Take this. He's like, and then he starts to be like, being like looking himself in the mirror going, yeah, check this shit out. We'll cut the guy's head off.
Bam. He was standing there like with his spear on the ground, like looking like a freaking Superman over there, just kind of looking proudly with his chin up, looking around the cave at the moment, like, huh. Dang, nobody was here to see that, but I win. And he like,
oh yeah, he was definitely proud of himself.
Oh, he was on a high. And then I love when you can break this whole fight scene down, which is insane, both technically if you really want to think about it. And they did pull something from Lord of the Rings a little bit, where he touched the water and then that's when the monster comes in closer. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's like from anything that anybody that's ever seen, you know, something get attacked when they enter the water. I mean, that's like primal fear, you know, for people. Like, it's just not something that, you know, you can't see what's there, so you assume what is, and you try to hope for the best and think nothing's there. So, you know, this dragon comes out of the water, like the pool's on fire. And then the dragon like emerges from it, its head, and they do an exceptional job of keeping this dragon present yet obscured, not in shadow or fleeting moments, just by the scenery of itself. So you don't have to, you know, you're not sitting there going, "What the hell is that thing supposed to be?" And when you finally see the dragon in full, it's terrifying. I mean, it's a scary looking fucking dragon, especially when you realize that hours went in to making this thing, because there was not legitimate CGI things going on back then, guys. It was all shot on a screen or repainted, and then black in a dry shot for wet when it came to water effects. There's lots of weird things they had to do for this. And this is all practical. And it had to be a scale or magnificent camera work to make a small scale model loom and tower the way in which this thing did. And it was impressive when it was in the actual cave, because this guy, this dragon starts, you know, he comes up and sneaks the guy basically, which is terrifying when you realize, you know, you're 500% larger than this thing. At your smallest, as you can see, and then he starts ripping ass through the cave, find this dude, and then you feel sorry for the dragon for a second, because when it sees its dead babies, it stops.
Yes, it stops. It has. Life. So apparently it's a she. Apparently they came out and said that dragon's a she. Awesome, fantastic. But it like essentially mourns her kids for a second, her younglings, offsprings, whatever they're called. She essentially mourns them. And I was like, dang, you guys making me feel for a dragon that you guys about to murder.
Yeah, about that. It's just the scene you've seen in countless movies since then, but again, 40 years old. 40 years old. Yeah. I mean, it was good. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, animal emotions and, you know, us, you know, imposing our ideals of emotions onto animals is not anything new. It's not the first time it happened, but you don't expect to see it. You expect, you have to drag people through it. And this was just raw. You know, it was, you know, you didn't have to make these ridiculous things up for it. And it was just, it was there. And it was a scene that happened. And they expected people to feel when they saw it. And damned if that wasn't what happened. You know, they did a good job of it. And again, I was impressed with that. And it was just like the small things that happened countless times through this movie that kept you watching and made you feel like, hey, this is something that I actually enjoy. And then, there, you know,
wasn't even that much dialogue in the entire movie.
Because everything that happened and was that said was purposeful.
Yes.
It just seemed like everything progresses the plot along in a fairly substantial manner, which was awesome.
No, I agree on that one. But again, you know how he should have died with the elite guard? He should have died in that fucking cave. He should have died. I get it. The shield, dragon scales, it helps, blah, blah, blah. He still should have died.
He got roasted. Like, just because, I mean, come on, man. Like, what was the movie with Josh Brolin? And then when there were firefighters, they were in Arizona, these elite group of firefighters.
Fahrenheit 451?
No, that's not book burning, you jackass.
Oh, God. No. Oh, man. Whoops. Oh, man. Sorry. My junior year English teacher is coming back to haunt me from a grave right now.
What was it? Like, is Only the Brave, I think, or Only the... I think, anyway, it's like these guys were got on the wrong side of a firefight. This is... And I am not saying this to offend anyone because it's horrifying what happened.
Only the Brave. Group of
Only the Brave, I feel that's it. They got on the wrong side of a fire line and wound up having to get into their shelters, and no one made it out. They were fighting a fire to keep it away from their homes. They had done this all over, the Midwest. Well, not Midwest, but Arizona's way west. But in multiple areas and had been successful doing it. But they got bad information, poor direction, and then they got stuck. And then bad things happened to them. That is the exact same thing that happened to that guy tucked behind the shield with that much fire. You know, yes. It's like, you know, you might be able to put some foil around the leg of the turkey, but that motherfucker still burned with that much heat around it. And that's what happened to him, you know, or should have. But, like, again, we are going to proceed with the plot at that point, you know. You can't have the guy die right just now. And, you know, well, here's the thing. They could have. But they didn't.
No, they really could have.
They really could have actually. It's like, yeah, he made a horrible mistake. And you could have made the blacksmith's daughter the hero at that point just by, like, you know, scooping up his ashes and finding the necklace and then yada blah. But that's not what happened. He actually did get out, and then the dragon was wrecking hell.
And this is where I this is one of the only names I remember from the movie, Ulrich. The only reason I remember his name is because that was the same name as Heath Ledger's character in A Knight's Tale. the only reason I remember that name. I was like, oh, hey, I know that one. I'm pretty sure his name is Auric.
The Auric of Liechtenstein?
Yes. No, I'm talking about the guy in the movie we're talking about. I think his name is
Auric. Yes, exactly. You know,
and but then, that was the only name that stood out to me the whole entire time. But he literally comes out, he's like, hey, guys, I got you. We're going to go do this. And, well back up.
It was just crazy, like, you know, because, you know, he realized that, like, you know, I was never a musician, you know, a wizard. I was just faking it. And then he just used me to get here. And then he remembers what the guy's telling him. And then he slips back down in there and then throws the pendant into the lake of fire.
Yes. Then he gets,
and that's when vision. Gandalf the White comes back in place of Gandalf the Grey.
Exactly. Oh my god.
It was awesome. Like, then he realized, holy shit, this old man played our ass. He was so old, he wasn't gonna make the he was not going to be able to make the journey. But he felt it was something that this dragon dying is something that had to happen. So he literally planned out for this guy to murder him, for his essence to be carried, because he knew his apprentice was not going to listen to him. So he planned to have his apprentice take his soul to this dragon's den and throw it back in there so he can reconstitute himself and be fresh as a daisy to fight a dragon, which was amazing. It's so manipulative and brilliant at the same time.
I love how he comes back and he immediately is like, hey guys, don't worry, you guys did well. I'm gonna take the rest of this. And he gives himself like a little pep talk, then he immediately freaking dimension doors to the top of the mountain. And you can't tell me I'm wrong. That's straight D&D. Like, this whole battle was straight just D&D fighting the dragon. It was a classic wizard versus dragon. You have a 20-level wizard and a 20-level dragon or whatever, and duking it out. That's all. Duking it out.
Yeah.
And he's got a staff of power. He commands lightning bolt. He's got protection from fire. I mean, what more? What more do you want? He has a explosion that's triggered by a contingency spell or whatever. I mean, dude, straight D&D going on.
Yeah, and it was really cool to watch how that played out.
It was great.
The only thing that was bad were the legitimate effects of the dragon once they started doing this massive fight with the dragon in the air. As soon as the dragon took flight, you know, it does not hold up near as well as the rest of the practical effects do. Because, you know, they didn't have anything to compare it to. You know, they just had, you know, there's like, this is great. I mean, you guys, we were talking about a time when Tron was disqualified from a visual effects Oscar nomination because they cheated by using a computer. Okay, so this is the time in which these folks were working with. You know, it was sneered upon. It was looked down upon. It wasn't a tool that you use. It was a pathetic crutch, and nobody worth their salt was using computers to do these effects when you should just, you know, build a giant mechanical shark for Jaws, or you know light things on fire and shoot it at an angle at the, you know, with yes, this particular lighting and aperture. This just wasn't something that was done then, but, you know, we're spoiled. But at the time they weren't, and they did what they could do. I think they were just in unfamiliar water, and that's why when you had those green screen overlay with flying models, the compositing wasn't even probably a term that they used for making those
shots on film.
So it's pretty bad, but it's really good as a movie.
I'll give them the fireworks show for when the you think he's about to die, you think the dragon's about to win, and then the pendant gets destroyed, and he blows up and destroys the dragon. I thought the fireworks, I thought that special effects, thought that was actually great for its time. And it did, I thought it did a good job. The only thing I didn't like is that, you know, when he fell, when the dragon fell into the lake, it boiled all the water away.
Yeah, it's just like, that was a little weird, but okay.
But if that didn't happen, you did not get the majestic. I don't even think that's the, I could, I can't think of a better word. The majestic scene of the frail old king walking up with its sword and gingerly stabbing the dead head of the dragon, and someone in the crowd going, "He's the Dragon Slayer!" And
it was, you know, it's, and you know what? And we've seen that played out time and time again. You know, when somebody that is, you know, three continents away declares victory in a particular campaign, you know, and that's basically what that happened there.
Oh,
and, you know, I'm playing it. You know, it's just like, you know, Trump taking a question from Fox News. You know, it's gonna be bullshit.
Oh man,
it's all coming. That's a bullshit answer, and that's a bullshit question, and nobody actually cares. So, and that's the same thing that happened there, and that's just how politicians do it. And no, I'm saying it's the same thing. That's like saying, you know, like when you know, any Democrat President X was, you know, had a question from PMSNBC. You know, it's the same thing. You know, politics as usual, guys. You know, they don't work for you. Hard for you to imagine.
Right?
They're there for themselves. If you don't believe me, look at their bank accounts and their reported earnings. Any of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, look at their payroll. That's all you have to look at.
There you go. But
and then the
I'm an equal opportunity offender when it comes to politics, folks.
They just all suck. They don't care about me and you. That's all that matters.
Sorry, I was having to finish the last bit of my
it's okay, my delicious that's understandable. Hey, whenever politics gets involved, you always have to start chugging. That's basically the only way you can talk about it. But then the last scene of the movie, they're literally standing there and they look at the horizon. You're like, "Oh, sweet. We're going to have a Star Wars ending just looking at the horizon." That's all. No. A random white horse shows up. And they start giggling like little girls. Get on the horse, and it plays the most upbeat 80s tone music I've ever heard in my life. They made sure the end of it was the epitome of an 80s movie.
Well, they didn't know that at the time, but yes, exactly what it was. You know, it was like, I what year did this come out?
81.
Okay, so
it was the beginning of the era.
So it predates MTV. What is the MTV? There's a lot of MTV things that happen in this movie, and what I mean by that is, like, there are a couple things. You have wispy gowns. That's a given in 80s videos.
Yep.
Fire from places that fire shouldn't be from, like a lake.
Magically coming out the water.
Arbitrarily having horses show up for no fucking reason. And then music that doesn't fit this tonality of what you're the imagery you're seeing. Oh, I mean, so it's like Pat Benatar watched this and then made like five videos for her career from this. Look it up, folks. It's probably on Vivo. Anyway, Benatar. Pat Benatar. Not a dude. Chick. But it was just super odd. It was super weird. That being said, man, this was a wildly enjoyable film to watch. I mean, I really liked a lot of it.
I really enjoyed this movie. I want to go back. I want to go back and sit down without any distraction from the farm I call of a family and actually pay attention to the first 20, 25, 30 minutes of the movie. Because I know it sets up a whole lot later on down the road. I get it. I understand. It really does. And I want to sit down and pay attention to it because the latter half of the movie, like from the second and third act, I loved it. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, it's like, it's better than it had any reason being. And like, and understand, folks, like, you know, while we're sitting there and discussing this and gushing over how much we enjoy this movie, we're hot on the heels of day one of San Diego Comic-Con 2022.
And facts.
I know I've seen the D&D trailer about four times and about 50 reaction and trailer breakdown videos on that, and the same thing for House of Dragons.
Yeah, from Game of
Thrones. So we've seen a huge amount of dragons and sword and sorcery type things going on, and from a story standpoint, I have no idea what we're going to get long term from House of Dragons. Hopefully, it's better than what we ended up with, Game of Thrones.
It looks Season 8 did not exist.
No, it like the movie looks fantastic. The trailer for the show does. Dungeons and Dragons gives me hope because they got so many things right in the trailer, and Chris Pine is there for legit intensity at some point, but he's there for the smarmy comedic hero guy, and he's made his living doing that and has done well with it. It just was weird to me, and I know this is off topic at some point, but we freestyle here most of the time. When it came to the trailer, it was fairly apparent what everyone's class was.
Yes.
Except for him, and then you shove it down our throat in the last 5 seconds that he's a bard.
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, and he plays a lute. Bruh. You know, you did so much stuff correctly in going into this trailer. Also, what is this, the year of fucking Vecna as the villain?
Yes, with Stranger Things.
and actual D&D, it's just great. And like, there's some things that happen in the trailer that I thought were amazing because those are, I mean, first of all, when you make a choice, well, I can fight this displacer beast, or I can jump inside the gelatinous cube. You know, this is like, and that was a choice that you made. And and believe me, I understand that you guys, there are going to be some hardcore D&D people that are already crying about the druid shifting into an owlbear because that's not what something they can do. Shut the fuck up. It looked amazing. It was cool. Let them get away with it. You know what? Cool is overrides rules. If you don't believe me, ask Joe Manganiello.
Facts.
So much shit he did. You can't do that. He did this charge already. They'd have time to react. You do these things. None of that shit mattered because you know why? It was so fucking cool. The DM just had to sit there and watch. Like, oh, fuck. So
I don't know about you. Did you watch that episode by any chance, or did you listen to it at all?
I did. You have to watch that.
I watched it, and everyone's mouth was dropped. He just like, all right, everybody, everyone just, Matt Mercer's just sitting there like, oh, everything's, everyone's just chilling. You guys just killed the monster, and they're trying to heal each other. Everyone, they're getting together, they're healing, and he goes, Joe, he stands up and goes, oh, I cut off my own hand, attach it, and I vamp out of there. and everyone's mouth just literally did the whole Scooby-Doo drop to the floor. It's one of those things you got to go see. It's one of those that you got to go watch.
Yes. You just read it. Because that shit, people complaining about it, that's not how it works. Guys, they it's roll that into game. Absolute canon. Joe Manganiello and co. wrote Descent into Avernus. So yes. That tells the further stories of what happens with the Oathbreaker Paladin and with the Hand of Vecna. So
I actually need to go read those because I need to.
Descent of Avernus is a pretty good module. But, you know, we're getting so far off topic, but we're diving deep into nerd dragons and shit.
We can do that all day. We still need to go back and watch the original Dungeons and Dragons. What, it came out in 2000? We need to find that. I might rent it. You know what we need to do? A party watch.
Watch party?
Aw, I'm a fucking... Dude, I am stupid tonight. Yes, a fucking watch party. Jesus Christ. Fucking Jesus. Jeez. Okay. You know, real quick. I mean, we've been going for about an hour and 10 so far, which is all fine and dandy. Let's get to how much do you think the budget was?
Bruh, I have no idea, but it was all spent on location. I don't really have almost no concept of how much this would cost. 40 years ago, I'm going to say $3.5
million? $18
million. Holy shit. Somebody was somebody watched Star Wars and was like, fuck yeah, we're going to get this money. And like, $13 million. Like, and I can see where they spent a lot of it. You know, weird when it comes to budget on some of these things. But I can believe it. I also believe at some point they had spent 12.5 and they got to the last 15 minutes of the movie on the shooting sheet and said, oh shit, we're out of money. That's not, like I said, that's all it did, take shit out of you. I can believe that. I don't even know. Did this get a theatrical release? Was it? Why was it worldwide? Did they make your money?
Let me see. Here, hold on. While we're looking that up, fun fact: John Francis Daly is doing the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie, and I'm extremely excited. He's a huge D&D nerd, and so I think the reason why it's so particular and what's going on with how well it's showing right now, just in the trailer, that's because of him. And I'm super excited for it because he also wrote the screenplay for it.
Didn't he do the game night?
I think he did, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so dark humor, great, you know, and it's like I said, it plays out very well. Like, it's, to me, I was hesitant because we've been fooled. The first D&D movie was just a nightmare, and they deserve every piece of shit they have to suffer through for that one. Like, the other two suffered from budget issues and, you know, shoestring budgets and shot on a handy cam, but they were much better as far as D&D source material goes. I'm not saying they were good movies. I'm just saying they were cool because it was so much better than the garbage we got before.
So it was released June 26, 1981. A year later, that's when it was released worldwide. So it was worldwide. So what do you think the all-time gross is?
Theatrical release gross for that movie. There's no way they made their money back. I just don't believe it. I mean, as much as I love it now, it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm going to say 13 mil.
It's so fucking close. 14.1.
Oh.
So close. So close.
I knew it was going to not quite get there, but I also know, like, this is one of those movies that people gravitate towards once they get a different medium. Like, yes. I don't like whatever they've done for video rentals and stuff like that. They deserve every penny, every nickel, because it's freaking awesome.
What do you... Okay. With that, what do you think the critics and the audience scored it?
The critics, this has to be beloved by people. I'm like, it's like to be like in the 80 percentile from audience ratings, and probably like 60%, maybe lower 50. I go like 50-60% critic, because someone should be able to understand that it drives the plot without giving you unnecessarily dialogue and tell a visual story. But that's giving critics a lot of credit. Okay, 40 critics, 80 audience.
You ready to shit yourself?
Probably.
Audience, 62.
Oh.
Critics, 82.
What?
Critics love this, dude.
Oh, dude. I'm much respect for the critics in the 80s, man. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, how the audiences not like this? Do they go?
I don't know. There's 10,000 plus reviews, and it got a 62%.
Ew. I'll blame it on the bots. That's fake news.
That's fine. And then, last but not least, IMDb. What you got? Out of 10.
A 5.8.
6.6.
I personally would put it like my sweet spot for movies, guys. If you don't know, and I understand callbacks are weird for people that don't listen to everything. My sweet spot for movies, for me, it's like 7.3 to 7.8. Like, those are my favorite movies of all time. The ones I like can't turn off if it comes on a device or in my general vicinity, or things that I buy and actually will watch, which that's a very shallow supply of things that happens to. But yeah, yes. I can totally see that. Like, that's why I'm going to rate it higher. Because, again, I have no attachment to this. It's just, it's a great popcorn movie that if I was a kid that could remember 81 with any cognizance, I would have loved to have seen this movie in the theater, man. There's yes. no way. I mean, yes. You would have, like, this is the one you get up and go play video games on. Okay, guys. Back in the day when you dropped off at the movies to watch a shitty movie, before you actually cared about girls, you would go play video games in the arcades that every theater had that actually had games and not these jackass crane machines that you kids play these days.
Yeah, those are actual shit. Video games. They're shit.
So, yeah, they're awful. But those, like, I wouldn't have got up for this one. I would have stayed there the whole time. Like, you know, like been in severe pain from a bladder explosion that's imminent any moment, and just never got up for this movie, man. This is one you didn't want to miss any part of once you got into it. And I can't stress how important it is for movies to hold the attention of the audience when they were released in the 80s, because you got to realize, like, E.T. played for a fucking year in theaters, and that's why it made so much money. It made multi-millionaires out of people that just own a couple of screens when it came to theatrical releases. It was a money maker, and the longer you can have people watch the same movie, the more money you make. None of this multiple releases every week, 5 new movies come out at the same time type of shit, because the attention span is non-existent and you can only remember one thing at a time. No, these are movies that people watch over and over again. And this is one of those movies that I would absolutely have paid money to watch multiple times.
I agree. I would have. I 100% would have. And I think everybody listening right now can... We 100% are saying, you need to go watch this movie. If you haven't watched any of the other ones that we've recommended, 100% recommend, go watch this movie.
It's so good.
Oh, shoot, man. God, this movie is just so good. I'm good to watch it. I'm good to watch it again next week. I know I'm going to, and I think I'm gonna. No, I might make my kids sit there and shut up and watch it.
All right, guys. So you heard it. Next week we're gonna review the same fucking movie. It's like how great this shit is. It's not movies, brews, and rants. It's like, hey, welcome to, you need to fucking watch Dragon Slayer 1991. I'm stuck. So we'll make awesome new artwork for that, and we'll go from there. Next week we'll talk about Dragon Slayer 1981. It's like the cover band from fucking Step Brothers that only plays, you know,
same shit over and over again. for real. Next week we're gonna do Spiderhead, the new Miles Teller movie, and Chris Hemsworth. That's the movie we're gonna do next week. We got some fun shit with that one.
That chick's in it. You know, the brother that lied to the cops a bunch.
Yes,
awesome.
It's gonna be so good. I was 100% waiting for him to yell, Cho Chang. Where's Jeff Chang? Where's Jeff Chang? I was waiting for that, but he never did it. I don't know if you guys get that reference. It's from the classic 21 and Over movie, which I absolutely loved. Jeff, do you even get that reference?
I totally get that reference. Watched that in a theater.
So did I. It was great. So did I. Awesome. I loved it. And they need a Jeff Chang counter, just like they have a fuck counter in Scarface. And I promise you, it gets up there. It gets way up there.
Nice.
Well, I think that's it. I think we're going to call this a wrap. Thanks for listening to Movies, Brews, and Rants. I mean, you guys got questions? Hit us up. Hit us in the comments. Hit us in Twitter. MBRPod. We have an email, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. It's at MBRPod. No, fuck. Jesus. Ah, Jesus. It's MBRPod@gmail.com.
Gross. Don't email us. It's not a thing that happens.
Hit us up on the Twitterverse. Just tweet us.
Giving consent for that?
I gave consent. I acknowledge.
No, people, if you see Tyler, you can tweet him. Ugh.
Thanks for listening. No copyright infringement was intended. We just love to have fun and drink. I wish I had more drinks, but I ran out. I did not come fully prepared with alcohol, and I'm upset about it.
Guys, that's how much we enjoyed this movie. We stopped drinking, stopped ranting, and just started gushing, and it was awesome.
Snacks. And we're going to finish on gushing. So I hope you guys gush with us next time. And we will see y'all soon with a nice Spiderhead.